You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Turn your Bibles, please, to Psalm 51. And since it is my vacation, it'll be 10 minutes and we'll be gone. Some of you said amen. That's good. Psalm 51. Let's read our text and then we'll get in the message. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do ask for your help. Of course, I'm not able to open up your word. That has to be done by thee, O God. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would do that. I pray that you would help us to grow in grace and grow in your knowledge of you. I pray, dear God, that it would be a help and a blessing to those here in this room and those hearing online. And God, please, I need your help. And I ask, God, that you would grant me thy power and thy wisdom. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Wednesday night, Brother Frenera spoke to us about the responsibility, our responsibility when someone has done us wrong. And he spoke on the subject of forgiveness. And in Matthew 18, verse 21, if you turn there, and just, I'm not going to re-preach his message, obviously, but this ties into the message tonight. Matthew 18, 21, the Apostle Peter asked Jesus that question. I think we remember what that was. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And basically the gist of the conversation is that God is a forgiving God. And God wants us to be the same way. Amen. And Burfinera also taught us a responsibility when someone sins against us. Tonight, we'll look at the opposite side of the same coin. What if your brother and the brother, what if you are the brother that has sinned against another? There in Matthew 18, this is talking about the church, people in the church here. And I'm not sure if that brother, that fellow believer in the context there in 15 to 17 that Peter mentioned, was committing the same sin over and over and over again and keeps coming back for forgiveness. The text does not say that. It could be that. And God says you keep forgiving as long as they keep coming back. But I would venture to say that if a person is doing that, he probably was not sincere or have not learned what true repentance is all about. And that's our subject tonight. What is true repentance? And in Psalm 51 there, I believe the key verse there is verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. We read here in Psalm 51 the confession of a man who was truly repentant, truly sorry for his sin. And we know it's King David. Psalm 51 is one of those few psalms where the reason it was written is told us right there. Look at the heading on it. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. And that's helpful because now we know what it's all about when David wrote it. So this helps us understand what David is talking about here and also to gain help from it in our own lives. Most of us in this room are probably familiar with the story of David and Bathsheba. Young kids and up, I think we're familiar with David and Bathsheba. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and as a result of that adultery, Bathsheba became, the Bible says, with child. She was expecting. And David, in order to cover up his sin, devised a plan. He says, okay, here's what I do. Uriah, by the way, was one of his high-ranking officers there in the battlefield. And if you read the story, David was not supposed to be in Jerusalem. He should be out there with this man, but he wasn't. And so he calls Uriah from the battlefield. And David is thinking, okay, this is what I'll do. I'll invite Uriah back. I'll pretend to ask about the war, about the battle, how it's going. And then I'll send him home, and then he'll go home to his wife, and then it would seem then that the child is theirs. That did not work. Uriah was more of a man of honor than David realized. And Uriah said twice, he said, you know, I can't go home and be comfortable and be with my wife. I mean, my general is there in the battlefield. They're sleeping out in the open. I'm not going to do that to them. You know, I'll fight the battle first, come back, and there's time for that. But it's not that time. In fact, it was almost like a slap in David's face. I wonder if he was looking at David and say, you should be doing the same thing. You should be out there also with us, you know. But I don't know if that's, you know, there's a lot of honor and shame in that culture. And if we understand a little bit of that, that might be one of the things Uriah was saying. It basically is a slap in David's face. It's like, you know what? You know better. You should be out there. But, you know, and so he did that. And David got him drunk and hoping he'll go to his house. Uriah did not. And so David thought, okay, it's not working. He comes up with another plan. I'll send Uriah back. I'll write Joab, that's the general of the army, a letter. Basically, orders. He told Joab, he says, you know what? I want you to put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle. And then when the fighting is the fiercest, I want you to withdraw from him, leaving him alone, or basically leaving him defenseless. And that one worked. Uriah was killed in that battle. All right. David must have thought, okay, man, good. Uriah is dead. You know what I'll do? I'll make it look okay. And, you know, I'll let Bathsheba mourn for her husband. After that, I'll take her to be my wife. And the child will look like it was ours after we got married. All this work to cover up his sin. And he thought it was okay. But it was not okay. Because God was watching all along. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27, this is what the Bible says. And when the morning was past, Bathsheba mourning for her husband, David sent and fetched her to the house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Now, you read that and it says displeased. Okay, God was not happy. All right, he was, you know, so he was a little angry. Actually, it carries with it a heavier meaning than what it sounds. When the prophet Nathan confronted David about his sin, he said this to David in 2 Samuel 12:9. Wherefore, it says, why hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? So when God says he was displeased with David, that's what he meant. He says, you despise the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. It was really bad. And God says, I am very much displeased with David. God was exceedingly offended and hurt by the actions of David. David did repent and confess his great sins to God. In 2 Samuel 12:13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. After Nathan told him a story, remember that? There was a man with one lamb, and it was a rich man. He had a lot of animals in his flock. And he would not even feed his guests with his own, but took that one man's lamb. And David was so angry. He said, this man deserves to die. He paid fourfold and he needs to die. And Nathan says, you're the man. You're the man. And then David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. David then wrote Psalm 51 as a confession and prayer. There's so much in Psalm 51. The more I dug into it, the more things come up. But, you know, we can spend a whole lot of time. But let's just cover this aspect of confession. What is true confession? David, at the time of this writing, was not a novice believer. He was not young in the Lord. He has been a believer for many years as a young man. He was used of God to do mighty things. The bear and the lion and things like David and Goliath and all that. As a young man, he was used of God. He was a believer in God. He knew God. He was a mature believer. He knew God more than most in his day. He was a man after God's own heart. And by the way, he could have taught others about God, and it would have been well worth their time to listen to the King David. His maturity is revealed in his confession that's found in this psalm. His maturity would be in contrast to someone who keeps coming back asking forgiveness for the same sin over and over again. That's not David. He was older in the Lord. I guess we can call this a postgraduate lesson on confession. And by the way, I know that there's young Christians here in this room, but God doesn't want us to stay immature. He wants us to grow. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 5, the author of Hebrews says this to his audience. He says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And it is true in churches. We have people that have been saved for a long time, but they're still immature. They've never grown. They act like babies, basically. You see, but God says, I don't want that for you. I want you to grow. And some of us here, you're young in the Lord, and it's good that, you know, you gotta first what? Roll over, then you crawl, then you stand up, and then you walk, and then you run. There are steps to growth. Yeah. But man, but if you've been a child of God for 20 years and you're still on the rolling over stage, something's wrong. Yeah. We need to grow. And this psalm right here is a postgraduate level in confession. What does a true repentant confession look like? Let me say, first of all, David knew he deserved judgment from God. David knew he deserved judgment. Look at verse 4 in Psalm 51, please. David knew he deserved judgment from God. In verse 4 of Psalm 51, it says there, David says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." It says that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You see, immature Christians say, "God, this is not fair. It's not fair that I'm being judged." David did not say that. He knew he deserved to be punished. He knew he deserved judgment from God. He did not cry out to God, "God, this is not fair. I've done nothing wrong. I don't deserve this punishment. This is not right. No, you can't do that to me." And when I worked in prison, I would sometimes hear convicts telling their story. It was amazing how many of them said, "You know what? I was framed." It's like, I was like, at one point I said, "I think, is everybody in this prison framed?" Like, you know, "I don't deserve to be here." "Yeah, I saw your record. Actually, you do. So, yeah, you know, you were not framed. So you're guilty." But you know what? That's a sign of maturity. A mature Christians do not look for blame. They understand that God has every right to judge sin. My wife and I would sometimes watch those police body cam cameras. You know, they would document the arrests, and I like watching it because it makes me feel better about myself. There's actually people more stupid than me. It's like, you know, stupidity galore. That's our expression. It's like, "I can't believe you did that." Yeah, they did. But it's amazing how in almost every case, here's the lawbreaker. I mean, it's on body cam. You've seen it happen. It's there, right? It's amazing. They get arrested and then they would say something like this. You say, you know, "What have I done?" They're being put under arrest. "What did I do? I did nothing." It's like, "We've been watching it for 5 minutes. Yeah, you did something." It's like, you know, and so did the cops. They know what you did. And so, "What did I do? What have I done? What are you doing to me?" "We're arresting you because you did something wrong." You know, so "I did nothing wrong." It's amazing also. It's funny. A lot of the reaction they say, "So this, I don't know what it has to do with it." It says, "I can't breathe." It's like, why would you say that? You're standing up. You're being cuffed. "I can't breathe. I can't breathe." Like, okay, whatever, you know. But it's amazing. Almost every case, I mean, they are caught red-handed. "You are guilty." And they say, "I did nothing wrong. What are you doing to me? You have no right to do this to me. You can't arrest me. You can't detain me." That is an immature Christian, you see. But David knew. David did not try to blame. David knew he deserved judgment from God. He confessed to God. In fact, he confessed that God was just and right in judging him for his sin. Notice what it says in the last part of that verse. In verse 4, it says, "That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Basically, David was saying, "I'm not going to tell you, God, I didn't do anything wrong. God, what did I do? Why am I going to? No, God, you're right. I sin in your sight. And you are right to judge me. You are right to make me pay for my sin. You are right in whatever you do. You are right in whatever judgment you decree. You are right, and I am wrong."
Yes.
And that is what mature Christians do. They don't blame God for what they did. You see, verse 1, notice what David says here, and this ties into that. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Notice what David did not do. David did not appeal to justice. Just like those videos we watch. Oh, tell me what law I broke. Tell me this. What did I do wrong? You know, why are you doing this to me? No, David did not appeal to justice at all, because he knew he could not stand in front of the justice of God. He appeals instead to God's grace and compassion. He never told God, God, what law did I? No, he never said that. You see, true confession understands that we have no standing before the law. We are guilty. We deserve to be punished. John chapter 3, the Bible says we are condemned already. We cannot stand before God on the basis of our merit. We deserve nothing from God. Our good works mean nothing when it comes to judgment. We are guilty before God. We have no standing based on our merit. And that's why we say nobody is good enough to go to heaven, because that is true. None of us can make it to heaven on our merit. None of us deserve forgiveness based on our merit. None of us do. Psalm 130 verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? I mean, if God just marked all of us here, the things that we've done, none of us can stand before God. Psalm 143, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. I mean, when we stand before a holy God, none of us can say, I'm here standing before you because of who I am. No man can stand before God in his sight. Job said this in Job chapter 9 verse 2, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. And then in verse 20, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. What is a mark of a mature believer in God? When he confesses, David knew he deserved judgment from God. He didn't appeal based on the law. He appealed based on God's mercy. Amen. And God's loving kindness and compassion. David also owned his behavior. Notice in verse 1, Psalm 51, these two words, he says, my transgressions. And then verse 2, mine iniquity. And then the same verse, it says, my sin. And then verse 4, I sinned and done this evil. And then verse 9, mine iniquities. David did not downplay what he did. He called them for what they were. He called them transgressions, iniquity, sin, evil. It says, God, that's how bad it is. Right. Oh, it's not, I made a mistake. It's an error. No. It's transgressions. Right. It's iniquity. Amen. It's sin. And it's evil. Amen. It was wrong. Very wrong. And I am guilty. And there's no one to blame but me. He owned up to it. He didn't blame anyone else. Like Adam blamed God. Remember that? Adam blamed God. He said, the woman thou gavest me. You know, God, it's your fault. If you didn't give me Eve, I would not have sinned. He blamed God. And then Eve blamed the serpent. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. No, He didn't blame anyone else. He owned up to it. Amen. It's my sin. Amen. It's my transgression. It's my iniquity. It's the evil that I have done. And then David understood his weakness. He could say all these things because he understood his weakness. Notice in verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That does not mean that he was born as a result of his mother's sin. It means that he was born a sinner. He acknowledged, I sin because I am a sinner. For those of us who find it hard to forgive others, perhaps we need to understand what that statement means. Because that is all of us.
Amen.
That is all of us.
Amen.
We are all born sinners. Before you're quit, that's why that message last Wednesday, that thing on forgiveness. If we understand this, it'd be a lot easier to forgive people. Because we're in the same boat as King David. We are all born sinners. Remember what Paul said. Paul, the greatest missionary that ever lived, saw Jesus on Damascus Road, use of God mightily. But in Romans chapter 7, it's just interesting what he says about himself. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, and who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And that's all of us here. That's all of us here. Before you're so quick to put your finger on somebody and just criticize and attack and all that, don't forget that is all of us. This is not an excuse to cover sin and all that, but realize before you judge others, realize where they came from, where you came from. We're all in the same boat in this together. Basically, David told God, "I'm wretched." He didn't say, "God, oh man, I'm normally not like this, Lord. You know, I'm normally a good guy. But I guess I messed up a little bit." No, that's not, David was not flippant about this thing. David was saying, "God, that's who I am. It's not an excuse, but that's what I am. Oh, wretched man that I am." I think by now you're getting an idea what a real confession feels like. It's not a flippant attitude about sin. Notice, in verse 17, I mentioned, and this is what David's going through. He says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." David was a broken man because of his sins. The months between his sin and Nathan's rebuke took a toll on him. Notice in verse 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou broken may rejoice." For months on end, there was no joy, and he was in pain. And God has been dealing with him. Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." In verse 11, it says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, O God, don't be far from me." It says, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And then verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. David was not enjoying life after his sin with Bathsheba. He was broken. He was hurting. He was a man after God's own heart. He loved God. And how could I, who love God, do this thing? And it was eating him alive. See, an immature Christian would just be flippant about sin, but not somebody who gets closer to God. A sin had dried him up spiritually. And that's what unconfessed sin will do to our lives. Turn to verse 12 there. This is interesting. Notice he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, David was king. He can have whatever he wanted. He had armies. He had victories. He had successes. He had a great kingdom. He was loved by his people. And yet those things never brought him joy. Because he says, during that time, he had all those. But he says, I had one thing that I wish I had. And that was joy. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Everything we would think would bring joy to our lives, but in verse 12, those things did not give him joy at all. What gave him true joy was a restored relationship with God.
Amen.
And by the way, the closer we get to God, things don't really matter. The closer we get to God, he's the only one that matters. And when he's displeased, and when he's angry, it hurts us. Though we might have everything the world can offer, if we don't have that joy that comes from a right relationship with God, a person who loves God is all dried up within. You can have everything else, but let me have Jesus.
Amen.
Let me have a right relationship with my God. And that's a mark of a mature believer. God is first in their lives. What matters to God is what matters to them most. And verse 4 explains it as well. Notice what he said. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I thought David sinned against Uriah. Yes, he did. He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against his general, Joab, for allowing him to be part of this sin. He sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah's family, friends, relatives. He sinned against Israel. He sinned all that. But then David says, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. David knew he sinned against the others here. But what broke his heart most is that he sinned against God. And ultimately, all sin is against God. You see, when we get closer to God, we stop really looking this way. And we start looking that way. And again, what matters to him
Amen.
Matters to us. It doesn't mean he didn't care about this. He did. But he cared so much more about God that he could say, against thee, thee only, have I sinned. That's mature level brokenness. Joseph said the same thing. When he was tempted to sin with Potiphar's wife, he says, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back," he's talking about his boss, "neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Yes, it would be a sin against my master, but you know what's worse? It is a sin against God. And yes, David sinned against the people here on earth, but you know what he said? "I am so broken that I sin against my God." It's not like he didn't care. He did. But he cared for God more. What's the greatest commandment? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." And then after that, you love others. Now let's conclude this study with some hope. True confession is not flippant. A person keeps coming back saying sorry. They're never sorry. They've never really been broken. But the closer we get to God, the more sin looks bad. Isaiah, remember Isaiah? "I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Then said I, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And I serve a people of unclean, and I live among people of unclean lips." That's what happens when we get closer to the holiness of God. We become so wretched. But the good news is this: our God is a forgiving God. That's what we heard last week. It is his nature. It is his desire to forgive. And that's why David, at the onset of went to God on the basis of his loving kindness and mercy, because he knew God is a forgiving God. None of us deserve God, but God is a forgiving God. The rest of the psalm talks about God's power to change us if we would truly repent and confess our sins. And by the way, true repentance is depending on him to do the work so that we don't live that way anymore. How wretched we really are when we see God in his holiness. But how loving God is when we come to him broken because of our sins. The reason we're not broken of our sins is because we've never seen God for who he is. But if we truly see God in his holiness and righteousness, we would be like Isaiah, who says, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." We'd be like Paul, "Oh wretched man that I am." We'd be like David, says, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned." But our God is a loving God, and he'll forgive. Tonight, are you harboring sin? Are you seeking restoration? Come to God broken. Realize how holy he is and how displeased he is with that sin. Get it right. Are you beating yourself up with guilt? Why don't you accept God's forgiveness? If you truly come to God broken and sincere, God has forgiven you, because that is who he is.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.